Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The laptop does not mean I'll speak for longer, and with the permission of the organizers, I'm going to rush through this in the interest of time because we would like to hear the shiuch speak as well. In regards to what happened in the UK after the first letter, and again, I'm just purely going to present what happened as opposed to any sort of analysis or explanation. As Brother Muzaffar hinted towards, when the letter came out, AIM started producing posters, content, anything that it felt it could be useful for propagating the letter through its Facebook and email. AIM's Facebook page has over 400,000 likes, and the email, the mailing list consists of 10 to 15,000. The range being because some emails are duplicates. Within the first week after the letter was released, a report by Press TV was done in London, which had a clip of an interview with Sheikh Bahanpour, as you saw earlier. The rep of the leader was abroad at the time, so nothing initially came out from the Islamic Center. Sayyid Taqi Rizvi had a program explaining the letter at Idara Ja'fariya in South London. The rep of the leader, when he did come back, he's also the head of the Hawza and Mir in London, and he was approached by Sheikh Isa Jahangir to allow for a session doing the sharh of the letter. And there was an hour allotted for the students of the Hawza, although it was closed door session, they managed to go through the first couple of paragraphs in explaining the letter. However, no other sessions followed up from this. There was a Sayyid Hashimi in Oldham. It's a small town in the outskirts of Manchester, who did a series of Friday khutbahs based on the letter. And the week the letter came out, numerous Friday prayers mentioned the letter. Please recite Salawat. In regards to the second letter, I've been asked to speak about the events which happened in France, which led to the writing of the second letter. So I'm just going to run down what happened on the day, what were the responses, and then the Islamophobia which followed. Very quickly, 9:20 p.m. local time, for some very good reason, I've not written the date. I don't know what that reason is, though. 9:20 p.m. local time, the first of the three bombs detonates during France-Germany soccer match outside of the National Stadium in France, in Paris. The suicide bomber was patted down by security, and when he found him wearing a suicide vest, the bomber ran and exploded his vest, only killing one person and injuring a few others. The plan was that he was supposed to explode inside the stadium so that when the crowd starts rushing out, there'd be two others waiting at the exit. But that did not happen. They blew themselves up with not too many casualties. 9:25 p.m., gunmen armed with high-powered Kalashnikov rifles open fire at two restaurants. 15 people are killed. 9:40 p.m., a suicide bomber detonates a bomb at a cafe, seriously injuring one person. 9:40 p.m., at Bataclan, a concert venue, three attackers open fire during a concert. They round up audience members, then methodically, depending on which part of the world you're from, shoot them. 89 people are killed. Later that evening, French police raid the venue, killing one of the terrorists. The other two killed themselves as they were about to be arrested. 11:55 p.m., same day, the president shut down the country's borders and declared a state of emergency, which the first ever mandatory curfew since World War II. That was November the 13th. November the 14th, the Islamic State takes responsibility for the attacks, issuing a statement saying the motive was to teach France and all nations following its path that they will remain at the top of Islamic State's list of targets, and that the smell of death won't leave their noses as long as they partake in their crusader campaign, which in my opinion is very bad poetry. Sunday, November the 15th, French military forces launch airstrikes on the Syrian city of Raqqa, where the Islamic State is centered. November 16th, US and European lawmakers fight over whether they should continue admitting Syrian refugees. In the US, Obama affirms that government officials will go on with plans to admit 10,000 Syrian refugees, followed by the president of France also saying that they will stick with their commitment to taking Syrian refugees. November 18, after a 7-hour standoff, two suspects were killed, including one woman who set off a suicide vest. Seven other suspects were arrested. So in total, the attackers killed 130 victims and injured between 352 and 368, different sources. There were three teams that launched six distinct attacks, three suicide bombings in one attack, a fourth suicide bombing in another attack, and shootings at four locations in four separate attacks. Responses came from all over the world. In North America, there had been, so after the comments were made by the different representatives from all over the world, just to have a quick look at the Islamophobic attacks which took place. In North America, there had been 73 Islamophobic attacks in the first month after the attacks in France. It has a lot to do with the Canadian French community in Canada. There is a very good link which I can send to people. It has a list of all the Islamophobic acts which happened in the US and Canada after what happened in France. It explains really nicely like where they took place, when, who was involved, and what actually happened. A Muslim group that tracks Islamophobia in France has reported a fresh spike of hate crime since the attacks, although, surprisingly, not as large as that which followed the slaughter in January of cartoonist at Charlie Hebdo. The southern port city of Marseille saw anti-Muslim attacks. For example, a veiled woman was punched and slashed with a box cutter as she left the subway, the Interior Ministry said. Attacks have also been reported on Muslim meeting places and shops elsewhere in France. There was actually an organization set up to keep track of all the Islamophobic attacks, but they gave up because there were so many within France itself. Anti-Muslim graffiti, people being attacked, hijab being snatched off women's heads, and so forth. In the UK, figures show 115 Islamophobic attacks in the week following the Paris killings, a spike of more than 300%. Muslims living in Britain have suffered more than 100 racial attacks. A report to the government's working group on anti-Muslim hatred seen by The Independent shows a spike in Islamophobic hate crime of more than 300%, 250 in the week following the killings on November 13 in France. Most victims of the UK hate crimes were Muslim girls and women aged from 14 to 45 wearing traditional dress. And the perpetrators were mainly white males aged from 15 to 35. I shall stop there.